Okay.
So we'll start by sending Salter 140. Don't wait for us.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this Walk by Faith evening. Also, welcome to those who may be following along online. I've been asked to read some verses with you as we open the evening. So if you could turn with me in your Bibles to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and we'll read just the first 8 verses. It says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Well, so far, let's open with a word of prayer. O Lord our God, we come into thy presence this evening and we thank thee for the opportunity that we have here to gather in this place and to meet one another, that on a Friday evening we can come here and listen to a talk on a very beautiful subject, one which we all are very bound up in. But Lord, each of us, we confess, is stifled and subject to the dust and the filth of our original and our actual sins. And we so quickly start to sweep and to mop and to clean ourselves up before Thee. We pray, O Lord, for grace to stop and to look to Jesus Christ, to have faith in Him, to have a hope in Him alone, that He would be to each one here wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. O Lord, we pray that Thy Holy Spirit would come and join us here in this place, that He would teach our hearts and minds, that He would make us teachable, that this would be an evening for Thy glory and for the good of our souls. Bless and help our brother, Pastor Vanderhoek, as he brings the message tonight, as he speaks to us on these serious matters. O Lord, enable him, anoint him with Thy Spirit, and be his help and his guide. O Lord, we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So at this time, we'll sing again the Psalter 118. Psalter 118.
Thank you.
And for everyone that's watching online. Tonight, we're proud to introduce Reverend Vanderhoek, who will be speaking for us tonight on our final topic of this series on the Dusty Parlor, the sprinkling water of the gospel. And it's been a wonderful series that we've heard that so far, and we're looking forward to hearing the last part of it. So, I believe you have a video that you'll introduce or go over the portion
audio.
Yeah, from Pilgrim's Progress. So, leave it up to you.
Good evening to you all, and welcome. Good to see you all. And so you have heard, if you have followed the series so far, that first it was about the dusty parlor, and you heard it was full of dust, the dust of original sin. I think it was, was it Pastor Hutton who talked about that? And then Pastor Wegner, I think, he talked about the choking power of the law. And now we come to the third evening then, the room sprinkled with gospel water, or the sprinkling power of the gospel. And we read together from Titus 3, and I want to focus with you then on these verses, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, and he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. So we focus on this topic, the third topic in this series. We focus on this verse, and in this topic, we are going to listen to two things particularly from this verse. What we see here is the washing of regeneration, which is the initial salvation, which is also pictured in the water of the gospel. And then also we focus secondly on the second part of this topic, on the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is the ongoing sanctification of a Christian. So the first part then is initial salvation and washing of regeneration. But first, let's go to the dusty parlor and just listen for a moment. What is happening there? Let me see if I can start this for you. It's not working now. It worked before. And you always see that. when you start it and then suddenly it doesn't work. Just a minute, let me see what I can do. Otherwise, I would just try to do it without this thing and see what happens then. I don't hear it now. I don't hear anything. Well, that is not going to work tonight. We have to do it without them. Unless someone can help me here to get it started, perhaps. Oh, let me try this one. One more thing.
Did you call for me, sir?
Yes.
I want you to
sweep this room clean of all this dust.
Yes, sir.
Now, when he began to sweep, the dust began so abundantly to fly about that Christian had almost therewith been choked.
Dear interpreter, help!
A gospel? Gospel. Come here, my dear.
Did you call, sir?
Yes. Come. Come, bring here the water and sprinkle the room.
Now there came in a maid who did as she was bidden, the which, when she had done, it was swept and cleansed with pleasure.
What means this? For I perceive an allegory here.
This parlor is the heart of a man that was never sanctified by the sweet grace of the gospel. The dust is his desire to evil, and inward corruptions that have defiled the whole man. He that began to sweep it at first is the law, but she that brought water and did sprinkle it is the gospel.
Oh.
Now, thou sawest that as soon as the first began to sweep, the dust of evil desire was stirred up.
Aye. And as he swept in one corner, it seemed to fly through the air and settle yet more heavily in another.
This is to show thee that the law, instead of cleansing the heart of sin by its working, instead doth revive and put strength into and increase it in the soul.
Why is this so?
Because the law is a mirror for thy soul. A mirror may show thee thy need of cleansing ever so clearly, yet it hath not power to cleanse thee of one small spot.
Ah.
So it is with the law. It doth most clearly discover to thee thy sins and forbid them, but it doth not give power to subdue.
'Tis true. 'Tis this very law that liked near to crush me as I approached the town of morality. And 'tis this very law that doth impose this great burden upon my back.
Aye. The law hath great power to show forth thy need, but hath none to relieve it. But did you notice the damsel that did sprinkle the water?
Of a certainty I did. She liked to have saved me from a dusty death.
Aye, in like manner shall sin be vanquished and subdued by the sprinkling of faith.
Indeed.
Aye, and thus shall thy soul be cleansed and be made into a temple fit for the habitation by the King of Glory.
Verily? Can it be so?
If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth.
Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief.
Yeah, come.
There is more.
Aye, much more.
Well, that gives us an introduction to the dusty parlor, doesn't it? We hear the sweeping, we hear the coughing, and we hear an explanation of what the law does. But who is the damsel? I want to ask you. I want to inform you tonight. Who is the damsel? And you see here what damsel means. It's a young woman or a girl or a maiden, unmarried girl, virgin. Who is the damsel? Speak up. It is? The gospel, exactly. Now, why do you think Bunyan chooses to picture the gospel as a damsel or as a young girl? Why do you think that? I think it's because, if you have no idea, I think it's because here's a young girl, a servant, and the gospel is a servant, but it's also a virgin, the purity of the gospel. It's just the picture that he paints for us. He calls the gospel a damsel. It serves us, and it's pure. It's pure. Why can the room be swept and cleansed with pleasure through the sprinkling water of the gospel? Why is that? You know the answer? Yeah.
There's no more dust.
There is no more dust. Well, it sprinkles it, so it does make the dust settle, right? There is no more dust. You could also say, swept and cleansed with pleasure, because the gospel empowers. It cleanses, right? The dust is still there. We still struggle with inward sins, right? So we still need that water even after we've saved. But why is it with pleasure? Because God empowers us. God empowers us. Why can the law give no power to subdue sin? All it can do, as we heard, can sweep it up and can choke us. There is no power in the law for us to get rid of sin. So as we have connected with this part for a moment with the dusty parlor, now let's connect with this part of the text for a moment here. So as we look at this text together, but after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now here we have a connection with that law, with the sweeping. Where is it? Well, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done. That choking law, it's not righteous works that we do. And I think you have heard enough about that in the last two sessions. But I do want to ask you this question for a moment as we begin. Have you learned this experientially? No works, no law that can ever make us acceptable in the sight of God. It's very important to know that in our hearts and to give up on wanting to be better in the sight of God, but simply to trust in the Lord. So that's the first connection we can make with this verse and with the dusty parlor. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. But there's also a positive connection. And that's where we want to spend tonight's time, most of our time. So there is the gospel. The gospel is pictured as water, as a stream of water. It's there in our verse, but it also says, it begins with this, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared toward man. There's before we can have the gospel, there's something that needs to be done outside of us. It begins outside of us. It begins in Jesus Christ. Why did he appear? Remember when he was baptized, when he went into that water, and John the Baptist says, no, I can baptize thee, O Lord Jesus. I need the baptism of the Lord Jesus. What did he say? No. I come to fulfill all righteousness, all the things that we couldn't be saved by the law from. I come to fulfill all righteousness. That's what Jesus came. That's what he did. That's why he went to the cross. That's why he lived his perfect life. That's why he died on the cross. He appeared coming to this world to accomplish salvation. That's where the gospel starts. Christ did what we could never do. And he did that work on the cross and at the open grave. And he is now seated for us in heaven to show his grace. And what does he do there? What does he do there? He applies what he has finished, and he applies that and he brings that home to our hearts in regeneration. So there's an outside work, but it needs to be applied very personally in your and my heart. And that's what this verse is talking about. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. And the focus here in Greek is on this little sentence. He saved us. He saved us. That's the focus. He does it. And that's the glory of the gospel. We can save ourselves, but he does it. And how does he do that? Through the preaching of the gospel, through the word. And then, how does he do that? By the washing of regeneration. What is regeneration? Regeneration is when he comes with the Holy Spirit and he makes us alive. He makes us who are dead in trespasses and sins. He makes us alive inwardly, in our heart. He forgives us. He cleanses us. He washes us. And now sin, because Christ's work is given to us and we give him our sins, sin is no longer counted against us. And that's pictured here in this verse as a bath. The washing or the bath of regeneration. And why is that necessary? Because you and I are dirty. We read together verse 3, didn't we? Foolish, sometimes. Disobedient, not wanting to obey God. Not foolish means spiritually. Spiritually stupid. We don't understand the things of God by nature. Disobedient, deceived. We believe in lies. Serving various lusts or diverse lusts and pleasures. We are driven by sinful pleasures by nature. That's why we need this bath. This bath of regeneration. So that God's Spirit comes to us and gives us a renewed mind. So that we are not living by our lust and pleasures, but by the word of God. Paul speaks about it, why we need this bath, living in malice and envy, that is being unkind and not enjoying when others do better than us. Hateful, it says, and hating one another, wanting the best for ourselves, and therefore not loving others. You see that? We need this washing of regeneration because we are dirty. And that washing of the regeneration comes to us through the water of the gospel. The law chokes us, but the water of the gospel makes us whiter than snow. So here in this verse, right here, is that damsel of the gospel, that servant girl of the gospel. And is it sprinkling? Is it sprinkling? Which is a biblical metaphor. We see it often in the Bible. But is it sprinkling? Not in this verse. There's something beautiful about this verse. How does it come to us? Well, verse 6 says, shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. And notice, this is passive. This is what he does for us through the gospel. This is passive. We only receive. Is it sprinkling? No. It is shed on us. Now, some people sometimes think that God's offer of grace is just like drip, 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 like a shower head that doesn't want to give a lot of water. Too often we think about God, and because of our unbelief, natural unbelief, we think that God is not so generous. That's our unbelief. But God's shower of grace, or God's bath of grace, is not just a drip, drip, drip shower, but that we barely gets us wet, let alone gets us clean. No, listen. He sheds this upon us. He sheds this abundantly upon us when we are regenerated. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, God sheds it upon us. Now, Paul shows here in these words that God pours it upon us without restraint. It's amazing. It's glorious. Without restraint. So not just drip, drip, drip from a shower head that doesn't want to work. No, no, no. I'd go to the Niagara Falls, and there's what you see. Shed upon us abundantly. That's more the picture. Picture yourself there under the Niagara Falls. Year after year, I've been told, Canadian scientists, well over 500,000 gallons flow over this Horseshoe Falls section of the Niagara Falls every second of every day. Not just a day, not in an hour, not even a minute. That's every second. Now that's the picture. Shed upon us abundantly from God. Why? To make us alive. To make us clean. To wash us. For the worst of sinners, there is abundant grace. There's abundant forgiveness through regeneration, through the Spirit that He pours out upon us. Blessings without restraint. And that word, then I only speak about shed upon us. But then it says abundantly. That means richly, overflowing, generously. Isn't this amazing? That's the amazing thing about the gospel. There's an abundance because God is a God of generosity and abundance. You think about those prayers that Paul made. He often prays, Lord, may we experience the fullness of this. That God would enlarge our minds and our hearts. And that we would learn all the dimensions of Jesus Christ's love for us. I have to think about that when it says here, this is shed upon us abundantly. And the result of that is what? Verse 7. That being justified by His grace, we now are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So when He regenerates us, when He washes us, cleanses us from all our sins, from all our filthiness, through regeneration, through the Spirit, then He also justifies it. I already talked about it. What Christ has done is given to us, and all our sins are laid upon Jesus Christ on the cross, and He bears them away. He bears the wrath of God that we deserve. That is justification. God declares us righteous, as innocent as His Son, Jesus Christ. Through His promises, and through His grace, and through His Spirit, we embrace these promises, and we look away from ourselves, we stop sweeping and working, as if that can make us clean. No, it can't. we start looking away to Jesus Christ. In regeneration, we are changed. We are justified, but not only that, we are made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So from the courtroom where God says, you're no longer guilty, he brings us into the living room where God becomes our Father, and now we have an inheritance that awaits us, and he is our Father. He has adopted us, gloriously adopted us. And now we are made children through regeneration. What does that mean? We hate what God hates. We begin to hate what God hates. Sin. We have a desire to know God. We have a desire to walk in his ways. Why does he do that? Why does he do this? Well, it says here, but after the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but to his, according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of the regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Do you hear those words? Kindness. Kindness. The kindness. Goodness of God in action. He shows that to us then. When you are saved, when you are regenerated, when you desire to be washed and cleansed, and you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, though, it's because of his kindness. Warm-hearted consideration. And God's love, what is that? The word is philanthropia in Greek. That means love for mankind. He is like a father who wants to provide for his children. Wanting to be generous to them. God's mercy, what is that? God is showing kindness and concern to someone in need. He sees our need and he wants to provide for that. He wants to provide for that. That's mercy. And God's grace. In verse 7, that being justified by his grace, that's a gift of kindness as well, forgiving all that is wrong and saying you're not good, not guilty. I give you grace, not what you deserve, but what I deserve, what I earned for you, rather. This is a glorious verse, isn't it? The gospel is a glorious gift of God when he regenerates us, when he sheds his gospel water over us, over our hearts, and cleanses us. It's beautiful. It's glorious. Now the question to you, me, has he appeared to you, Jesus Christ? Are you regenerated by saving faith in the Lord when he makes your heart alive toward God? Is your heart flooded with this power of God's forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus Christ through the cross? This is all pictured when you were baptized and set apart. When you saw the sprinkling of that water. It all points to the cross and it all points what God wants to do. He wants to be a father for sinners who don't deserve it. And he says, come back to me. Come back to me. If you're still outside of Jesus Christ tonight. And he says that over and over and over again, as we hope to hear in a minute. Gospel foundation here in this text, as you can hear. But now let's look at that water that flows. And washing of regeneration. Let's look at this for a moment. It flows into our hearts. How? Ezekiel 36, verse 25 says, "Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart, and I will give you a heart of flesh." Listen to the promises and play these promises. God says in this chapter, "You have defiled my name, you are a sinner, but look what I can do. I will cleanse you, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, I will give you that new heart, I will put that new spirit within you, I will take away the stony heart." If you say, "I have a stony heart tonight," God can take that away. "I will give you a new heart." It's constantly, I will. Those promises, plead them and say, "Lord, do it for me if you have not been regenerated, and you shall be clean." That stream comes flowing from God. I will. That stream comes to us flowing from Jesus Christ as well. In John 7, Jesus is at a feast of tabernacles, and that's the great day of that feast. And he stands up while all these priests are sprinkling water and pouring out water as a picture of cleansing. And he stands up there in the middle where this feast of tabernacles, there was also big lights they would light. And all this sprinkling is going on, and then Jesus stands up on that day and he cries out and says there, so that all the attention goes to him, and he says there, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and let him drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." So do you hear that? Jesus invites us to these waters that he can give, that can, when we drink them in through the word, when we believe the word of God, it will cleanse us. They will be like flowing rivers of water that cleanse us inside of us from all our sins. It can quench your thirst for sin and for self, and for self-righteousness, and for all your sweeping. Here is an invitation for you tonight. It flows into the heart of sinners from God. You are invited to it through Jesus Christ. And where does it come from? This stream comes from the cross. It comes from the cross. Come with me to that cross for a moment and look. Look what is happening right there. And stand with me amazed of the Savior who suffers there. Horrible. The wrath of God that you and I deserve. But then a soldier comes and Jesus has died. He has cried out, "It is finished." And the soldier comes. And he comes and pierces with his spear into the side of the Lord Jesus. What comes out? Blood and water. Blood and water. There's a stream that cleanses you from your sin, that flows straight from Calvary into our hearts. What is it? Blood? Because we are guilty. We need to die. That's what's because of our sin. We need to die. We are guilty. But here is a stream that can cleanse you from all your guilt. This is the flow of blood that makes peace. God sees it and he says, "There's peace for you." There's also water that comes from Jesus' side. Why is that? You and I are defiled by sin. Sin defiles us inside. But now there's clean water. Now there's clean water that can be sprinkled upon our consciences so that we are sanctified, set apart, for God, devoted unto God, through that water that came from the riven side of Jesus Christ. Look, there's a fountain open for sin and uncleanness that comes straight from the riven side of Jesus Christ, flowing from the cross, right into the heart of sinners when we are regenerated. And we see it, and we receive it, and Jesus even invites us to it. That is the washing of regeneration. That's the initial work, the initial flow of God's power into our hearts. But now let's go to the second part, the ongoing sanctification, or the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And there is an ongoing cleansing that God gives to his people, to each one of his children. He can give to you too, your child of his. And that is the renewal of the Holy Ghost. But let's first connect again with the dusty parlor for a moment. Let me read this to you. Again, as you saw the damsel sprinkled, this is the interpreter who tells this to Christian. Again, as you saw the damsel sprinkle the room with water upon which it was cleansed with pleasure, this is to show you that when the gospel comes in, the sweet and precious influences thereof to the heart, then I say, even as you saw the damsel lay the dust by, sprinkling the water, floor with water, so sin is vanquished and subdued. Vanquished means to overcome, defeated. Subdued is the power is held down. And the soul made clean. How? Through the faith of it. And consequently fit for the King of Glory to inhabit. You see that? The result of sprinkling, that initial sprinkling, the washing of regeneration, when God gives us faith in our hearts, is that sin is conquered. And now that heart that is cleansed now becomes a home for the King to live in, for the King of Glory, for the Holy Spirit to enter into. How glorious. How glorious. Let's see if we can find it back in our text. Well, it's right here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So when we are saved, he washes us by regeneration, but then he renews us. What is it? How does he do that? Well, this is God's daily invitation to you and me who are saved to come and wash afresh. Come again. Why is that? Because now we are brought from the courtroom where we stood condemned. We are brought into the house of God, and there is water generously, more than we need, for every day. Through regeneration, we are now children, so we may come to God every day as a child of God. And the Lord invites us to come back and to wash afresh daily, to come to the fountain filled with blood and plunge beneath that flood and lose again and again and again your guilty stains. How does he do that? It says here, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So this is the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. Sanctification, we call that. How does the Spirit work this renewal? Is this maybe drip, drip, drip? No, no, no. What does it say? It says here, which he shed upon us abundantly through Jesus Christ. Both the regeneration is an abundant work of God's grace, and the renewing is an abundant work of God's Holy God, Holy Spirit. So also here, he sheds this abundantly upon us. And he says, come back to me. When you feel filthy, when you feel guilty, come again. Come again. I cleanse you again. Come with boldness. Come again, my child. Whatever you need, forgiveness, new life, spiritual graces, they are all yours through Jesus Christ. Receive them. You are an heir of all these things. How does he give those things? Same as when you first were saved. Trust his grace. Trust his promises. Trust the power of his blood. Trust my power to cleanse you and to present you one day spotless before the throne of my glory. You're justified. You're now a child of God. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And now I will teach you to walk in the power of the Spirit so that you can enjoy that ongoing cleansing in your life. That's the gospel foundation from our text. Now let's see if we can drink in some more of the flow of this gospel, of that abundance that God sheds upon us daily. He cleanses our hearts daily. Where do we learn that? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Do you see that? We may come day by day, every day, inwardly. The outward man can suffer and perish and have difficulties and trials, but God can come with inward power so that you can go through all your trials and troubles and can renew your daily and wash your daily. That's actually also in the baptism form. It was promised to us in baptism. Former baptism says it like this. The Holy Ghost assures us by this sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives. Till we shall be finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Daily renewal. You may come daily. How does the Lord daily renew our lives? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 5, verse 26. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. He's talking about the church. The washing of the water of the word. So, are you in the word? The word is there to cleanse you every day. Are you daily in the word? To listen to the words of the gospel that can cleanse you daily. Not now to say, well, I must do this and somehow I get more righteous by that. No. But daily to come to the Lord and to listen to the Lord. The Lord Jesus, when he said to his disciples, when they came to him, you remember that chapter of John 15. About the vine and the branches. Abide in me and I in you, so you will be bear much fruit. He said this, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Do you see that? You are clean. You are clean. But you may come daily to be cleansed more and more. Abide in me, abide in my word, and you will be cleansed. You will continually be cleansed. So cleansing of the heart daily, but that's still by faith, through the word, but by faith. Acts 15 verse 9 says that the Lord purifies our hearts by faith. So when we come to the word, we need to come with faith. We need to come and ask the Lord to activate our faith in prayer and say, Lord, when I read the word, that I may receive it with faith. because he purifies our hearts by faith. I was afraid of that already, that it would stop. Because for some reason my battery is not loading, but we'll have to do it without for a moment. So it's not by it's by faith, not by feeling. How then are we cleansed? By the word, through faith. And we need to remember, remind ourselves when we come to the word, it's not a work. By his sacrifice, we are cleansed. Hebrews 9, verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge, that is, purify or cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? What does this say? There's cleansing power, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ through the sacrifice. Once again, every day we need to look in the Word for the sacrifice, for the flow of his sacrifice, for the blood that can cleanse us again and again. And what does it cleanse us from? So that we don't live by our works, but that we serve God and are empowered to serve God by the blood of Jesus Christ daily. What else do we need to keep in mind? We are cleansed daily as we live out of our union of Christ. It's very important to understand this. I already said, when you are saved, you no longer in the courtroom, but you are brought into the home, into the living room. God is your Father. And there is this, maybe we can just picture it for a moment, there's this bath. We may daily come and wash ourselves. It's the Word. It's the Word. And through faith, now we are connected to that bath. Romans 6 talks about that we are connected, united to Christ in his baptism. So we have access to that bath, we could say. This cleansing bath. We have been given that through faith, through regeneration. And now we are united with Christ and all his benefits. He can take away all our shame and sin and guilt. And then after that, it says in Romans 6, verse 11, this. Likewise now, reckon ye yourselves also dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. What is this saying? Because we have this access, because we have this forgiveness. Now, we need to think properly about what happened in regeneration. We are to reckon ourselves dead unto sin. It's no longer I. Alive unto Christ. We have been washed. We have been died to our sins through Christ. And we are risen with him in a new life, which is also a picture of baptism. And now we live out of him. Out of that union. He flows that into our hearts. But we need to learn to think properly about that. Therefore it says, reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So what is it saying? Make up the right balance. It's accounting term. You've got your debits. They all go to Jesus Christ. Lay them upon the Lamb that takes away sin. And all those credits that he has earned, they are accounted to you. We need to think about properly about these things. We need to live out of this gospel. Make up the right balance. And so what do we need? We need to preach the gospel to ourselves daily from the Word, as we are in the Word. Much unhappiness, Lord Jones said, comes because we don't appropriate. We are listening to the voices in our minds and the accusing voices of our hearts and the guilt that comes to us. And that's why we are so unhappy. Every morning when you wake up, who is talking to you? Lloyd Jones said. Who's talking? There's some voice often talking to you. Sometimes talking you right into the ditch. This is not good and that's not good. And we need to replace that voice with the word of the gospel. Preach the gospel to yourself, he says. He says then, why art thou so cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. He says, I quote here, so stand up and say, self, listen for a moment. I will speak to you. What has Christ done? What has Christ... Make up the right balance. Reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Self, listen for a moment. Christ has done something. Christ has a gospel flow that can wash me daily. How glorious. And so you can say, why are you so disquiet in me, O my soul? I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance, the help of his countenance, and my God. You see, we need to embrace him. But then also, you can't see it, unfortunately. We are cleansed. Why? Because now we want to have a home in us. That flow of water comes to us. We could say the flow of the Holy Spirit comes to us and lives in our hearts. That also becomes a home. We are at home in God's house, but God makes us a house as well, where he is the king of our hearts. Didn't Bunyan say that? So sin is vanquished and subdued. That's a struggle. Don't get me wrong. It's a struggle, a daily struggle. And the soul is made clean through faith of it, and consequently fit for the King of Glory to inhabit, Bunyan says. What does that mean? That Christ now comes and lives in us. The Spirit lives in us. Our hearts are cleansed. And the cleaner they are, the more at home God is with us. The more, the closer God is with us. Galatians 2 verse 20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Our hearts become a habitation for God. If any man love me, Jesus said, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So if we are remaining in the Word, if we are trusting the Word, if we are looking to Christ, we are becoming more and more a place where God can live, as he continues to cleanse our hearts. Because we don't no longer want to grieve the Spirit, do we? We want to walk humbly with the Lord. We want the Lord to be close. We want the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. We are cleansed. So we want to stay away from sin. We don't want to slide back into sin. We want to trust what he has done. So may I ask you a question tonight? Is the Lord close to you? Do you know the power of cleansing? Do you know that the Lord is with you, that he lives in your heart? Are you in the Word? Are you receiving it by faith? Are you walking in obedience? Are you hearing Jesus' voice? Are you embracing the finished work of Jesus Christ? Or that work, that initial work that has begun in you, that burning heart for the Lord, is it still there when you were regenerated? If you were regenerated? He does not want us to grieve the Holy Spirit, but he wants us to come daily and receive the Word by faith and be cleansed daily, so that you and I can have this wonderful relationship with him. And that we come with boldness to the throne of grace. Hebrews 10 verse 22 puts it so beautifully. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There you see the flow again. We are cleansed so that we would be able to come closer. It's an invitation to come closer to the Lord. Embrace what you have in Jesus Christ. It says here, encourages here with full assurance of faith. Draw near, come close, come boldly. Sprinkle your hearts from an evil conscience by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because he is the one and only sacrifice that is able to cleanse you from and your conscience. And then it says something else. Our bodies washed with pure water. It might be a reference to baptism here. But I do think it's more like the priest. He first came to the altar, and then he came to the laver. And at the laver, he was consecrated so that he could come and draw close and pray in the holy place and come close to the Lord. This flow, this water is there so that we would be consecrated, so that the Holy Spirit would live in us, and so that we, the Lord would be able to draw close to us, and we would be able to draw close to the Lord. How? Through the Word, through faith, through prayer. Speaking to Him and having communion with Him. Come boldly. He invites us. Come boldly through this flow that cleanses us. And we surrender ourselves entirely to Him who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's the daily renewal. The Word, prayer, faith, as we receive all that we have daily, all that we have in Jesus Christ. And the more we enjoy that, the more we enjoy that, the more we are cleansed, and that brings me to my last point here. The more we are cleansed, the more that flow that comes from God will flow out to others. The more we drink from the fountains of living water that cleanse us, from the blood that comes from the cross, the more it will flow to others. Go back to the day that Jesus was in the tabernacle, in the temple. And then all these people were busy pouring out water. What does Jesus say? Come unto me and drink, yes, initially. But then he says this, and he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly, out of his inward part, shall flow rivers of living water. What does Jesus say? The more you drink from my finished work, the more you are satisfied with me, the more you come and plunge yourself under that flow of living waters, the more it will bubble out of you. It will flow out of you toward others. You will become a conduit of the Holy Spirit, and it will flow to others. I think Jesus was thinking about that wonderful vision of Ezekiel. Maybe you know about that, all the way in the end of Ezekiel. And the glory had departed from the tabernacle, but now the glory came back. And what does Ezekiel say? See, he sees a little stream coming from the most holy place, from the throne room of God. And that throne, from the throne room comes a stream. It begins with a trickle. It goes under the threshold. It passes by the altar. What is the altar? It points us to the cross of Jesus Christ. And it becomes wider and wider. And it brings life wherever it goes. And Ezekiel is walking through it. And it becomes deeper and wider and deeper, and it brings life and life and more life. And then the water, he sees it when he comes at the side of that river that becomes wider and wider and deeper and deeper. It comes off and flows all the way, cascades into a deep sea, the Dead Sea Valley. And what does Ezekiel see there? Suddenly there's all this life going on in the Dead Sea. It brings life to this world. This flow begins all the way in the heart of God. It flows through Calvary. It flows into our hearts. The deeper we go into this flow, the more this flow will also flow through us all the way to the Dead Sea of this world, so that God can bring life into the Dead Sea of humanity and save more people. And what does Ezekiel see there? He sees that a Dead Sea, where there is no life, there's trees and there's fishermen casting out their nets. Where there were still some marshes, yes, places where the gospel stream didn't come. But wherever this stream comes, it brings life. You see that? Beautiful. Grace upon grace upon grace. He sheds upon us abundantly from the throne of God, through the cross, into our hearts, out of us, into this world. And that stream will one day, as Jesus said to that woman at the well, spring up into eternal life. Into eternal life. Where the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed or shepherd them, and shall lead them where? Unto living fountains of waters. There's a pure river in heaven from which we can be, we will ever be cleansed and drink to abundance. So let me close with this verse. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Thank you. Let me see if I can start my laptop still. See this altar as well. Or should we just continue? I don't know what time it is. What is the next thing, James? Okay, let's use this altar.
wash me in his loving seasons of the night. He keep before me still the Lord whom I have proved, at my right hand he guards from ill, and I shall not be moved. My heart is glad and blessed, my soul with joy can tell, and long my flesh in hope shall rest, and still in safety dwell. My soul in death dark pit shall not be left by thee. Corruption thou wilt not permit thy Holy One to see. Life's pathway thou wilt show to thy right hand.
So, what is next? Questions?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions? Not all at the same time? I don't want to put anyone on the spot. Yeah, go ahead.
Your last point about reading the books, like being the same teaching.
Yeah.
There's kind of a balance between doing good works because of the Spirit within you and doing good works because of what you do.
Yeah.
So, like, I find that's, like, how would you say if you get stuck in a rut of, like, always trying to do the right thing, how do you, like, kind of get back into that where it's,
yeah. Yeah, so your question is, what is the balance between good works, you know that it's the right thing to do, and good works motivated by the love of Christ, right? Yeah, that's your question, right? Or, yeah. So, it's a good question. How do we distinguish? Well, you know, what I've tried to encourage you to do tonight is really go to the motivation. Where is the motivation? Where does it come from? Look at what Christ did. Look at how he can cleanse you day by day. Because the more you drink in that, the more it will motivate you, and you don't think only, okay, I need to do this and this and this because it's the right thing. But the more it is, it's then the love of Christ that, as Paul says, constrains you, propels you forward. And that's what we want. So in other words, yes, we can do things because they are the right thing to do, and because there's also the commands that God gives. We are to obey his commands, and he gives us many commands, and we want to do them because God requires them from us, but not as a work of righteousness. But at the same time, also try to drink in from Christ and his fullness, so that our motivation would be right. Right? Those two things are there. Yes, there is the command. And yes, there is also the motivation that needs to, to be love. Does that answer your question, or maybe not so much? Anyone else? I heard someone else asking for it. Yeah, Peter. No? Anything else? Anyone else? Otherwise, we'll... We'll leave it like that. Is that okay? Okay.
You mind closing your prayer?
Yeah, I will do that. Oh Lord, help us to drink in the fountains of living water. Help us, Lord, to daily come to be cleansed. And may the love of Christ be our power to propel us forward, to obey thy word, and to do what is right. Will thou, Lord, give us what we need? We thank thee, Lord, for this word. We pray that it would be an encouragement to each one of us to come and drink, maybe for the first time, or afresh from the fountains of living water. Go before us tonight, Lord. We thank thee for thy help. We pray for thy blessing. We pray all in Christ's powerful name. Amen. Okay, let's stand and sing a cappella, I think. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.